Let's turn over to Proverbs 3:24. How about it? If you have your Bible, and I trust you do, or you can use a pew Bible, or maybe you've even got this memorized, is Proverbs 3:24. Just to refresh everybody's thoughts, we are in a year-long series. Our theme is Yes and Amen, where God gives us a promise, and then we acknowledge it, agree with it. We don't try to edit it. We just accept it. And that's a wonderful thing. So there are many promises in the Bible. There are 3,000 to 6,000 solid promises according to who's counting and what you qualify as a promise. But every promise, as the song says, every promise in the book is mine. How many can say amen to that? I don't just want half the promises. I want all the promises. Some may even be ones we chafe against a little bit, but in the end, they are really good for us. So welcome everybody today. Welcome to those who are watching on streaming. Delighted to have you there. Thank you, everybody, for wearing your masks and so forth, obeying the safety protocols. You know, this past week, if I may say this, we went out and we got like 10 new microphones so that everybody who is on the platform can now have their own microphone and we don't have to share and so forth. Everything we're doing, we are trying to not just appear to be safe, but to actually background be safe because we want everyone to get through this COVID crisis intact. So thank you for understanding. I know that some of us, like Vicki and myself, have had the inoculations and we're squared away to go, but everybody doesn't know that. So we're just doing this to hopefully get on the other side of COVID, get into the fall and winter season. And how many of us believe we're going to have a better Christmas this year than we did last year? I really do. I think we will. And that's not just wishful thinking. I think our God is going to help us to get through it. So today we're going to talk about the promise God has for us of sleep. If I were to give the message a title, it would be Sleep, God's Promise for Weary People. Anybody here ever weary? The Bible tells us that we are all at some point or other weary. And if I were to really break down what we're going to do here for the next few minutes, it would be to give you a theology or a doctrine of sleep. I know that doesn't sound very exciting. A doctrine is simply when we go through the whole Bible and we write down all the verses on a given subject. In today's case, we're looking at what it says about sleep. And there are many more verses than the ones that I'm going to share with you. But this is kind of a doctrine of sleep, something that God gives to His people. And on this Time Change Sunday, I've got to say that in the singing and the worship and so forth, everybody appears to have been really alert. Thank you for that. But you now have all received dispensation and the ability to go home this afternoon and take what we call in Latin America a siesta. You know what a siesta is, right? When we were importing all these wonderful things from south of the border, and I was born south of the border, so to speak, I got to tell you, I don't know what happened to us. We imported the taco and a lot of other things, but we did not import the siesta. And as a result, I think we're a little bit more tired because of that. So here's the text. You've got it by now for sure. Proverbs 3:24. This is what Solomon writes, but God says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many have been afraid during the last 365 days, but many of us have been afraid and still are. But it says here, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. How many claim that as a promise from God? Can you say amen? Yes. So do you have any difficulty sleeping? We heard some statistics just now. 74% of us have trouble sleeping at least a night or so every single week. The average American sleeps only 6.8 hours a night. That falls well before the recommended 8 hours. In fact, in 1910, when this building was dedicated, people that were in the room, they slept an average of 9 hours a night. But with the incandescent light bulb, the ability to stay up all night and do other things, the internet, etc., we are not people who sleep very much. We sleep 2 hours plus less than way back in 1910. As a result, we have traffic accidents. 20% of all traffic accidents are related to sleep issues. Did you know that? And all of our young people, listen to this, 97% of teens don't get enough good sleep. And that's because of the phone, That's because of the internet. That's because of the iPad. 9% of us take prescriptions to help us get to sleep. And in the United States, $411 billion is lost every year due to a lack of sleep. In fact, if we would just sleep one more hour a night, believe it or not, we would add, that's right, we would add $2 billion to the economy every single year. But the greatest sleep experiment is one that in part we went through last night. It is an experiment that is conducted twice every year on 1.6 billion people in 70 industrialized countries, and that is what we call time change. Last night, it was daylight saving time. That was the change. And I don't want you to get worried or freak out about this, but 24% more heart attacks occur than usual the day after the bad time change. And what is interesting, in November, as a double blind or a double experiment, when we go back the hour and we get an extra hour of sleep, there are 21% less heart attacks on Monday. So you're saying, wow, if I'd known that, I'd stay home and slept. Well, the idea is feel free to go home and practice every verse in this message today, this afternoon, and you will be just fine. For once again, here's the promise. You ready? When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You agree with God's word? Amen. So I'm going to share with you 10 quick biblical truths about the promise of sleep. And here they are, rapid fire. First of all, God invented sleep for our good. It says over in Genesis 2 and verse 21, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh." I've heard some guys say, ever since that happened, they've been sleeping with one eye open. They want to see what God's up to. But I got to say, for all the men, that we are grateful that the ladies came to become part of our lives and of our planet, because without that great miracle, none of us, of course, would be here today. So this occurred before the fall, so it appears that it was God's original and sacred and holy plan that we sleep. Some things came into play after the fall, right? Thorns, pain in childbearing, all kinds of sickness, difficulty, and death. But before the fall, everything that God created was perfect and good, and he created sleep because sleep occurred before the fall. So God invented sleep for our good, and in this regard, we aren't like our Creator. Let me explain. Somebody the other day said to me, "Do you think God has a sense of humor?" And I said, "I do think he has a sense of humor. Where is that in the Bible?" Well, it's not in the Bible. But the Bible tells us that we were created in his image, and since we all have a sense of humor and like to laugh, I would think that God, at some level, likes to laugh and has a sense of humor as well. He made a lot of things that I think that we would declare to be humorous. But in this one thing, God did not create. He did not create for himself the need for sleep. It tells us over in Psalm 121, "He who watches over you does not slumber. He who watches over Israel does not slumber or sleep." Aren't you glad that when you are sleeping at night, God is up taking care of every single one of us, and his watchful eye are upon his people? We can sleep well at night because God is watching over us. For it says in Psalm number 3, "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side." There are many references that allude to people getting up early in the morning refreshed. So if God gives us sleep as a gift, which we believe, when we get up in the morning, except on a morning like today where we've lost some sleep, all of us, we usually will get up and we will have kind of a triumphal feeling. It says over in Psalm 57, "Awake my soul, awake harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn." And of Jesus, it says in Mark 1:35, when he was on earth, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So we have a good night's sleep, and hopefully we get up with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And if we don't get up with that, we shouldn't recriminate ourselves, but at the same time, we should, in my opinion, seek God so that we can receive that, because one of the purposes of our rest during the night is to be refreshed. In fact, the humanity of Jesus is really expressed in that he had two activities that are deeply human. And what are they? He wept and he slept. He wept and he slept. When Jesus was at the funeral of his friend Lazarus, do you recall that he wept? That's human. Do you see here how that in a storm, Pastor Vicki asked that question as a trivia quiz, part of the trivia quiz moments ago, that Jesus in the midst of a storm slept? Listen, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he had performed great miracles, but now as a human being, he needed to sleep. Human beings weep. And human beings sleep, but people haven't always slept well. And that is why good sleep is a gift from God, which leads us to number two. Sleep is a wonderful gift from God. It says over in Psalm 127, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he," that is God, "grants sleep to those he loves." You know, today people wear a lack of sleep as a badge of honor. Have you ever talked to anybody about their sleep? How much do you sleep? Oh, I don't need much sleep. I can get by with 4 hours. Thomas Edison got by with 4 hours. I can get by with 4 hours. Well, I think Thomas Edison lied a lot. That's what I think. Because I've read of his records and he took a lot of naps. Let's put it that way. Human beings need that sleep. It is a gift from God like the tides. It sweeps over us and it cleanses us. It isn't a weakness. It is just part of humanity. But to the ancients, sleep could be a frightful time. They believed that things could get into them. They could be kidnapped. They could be robbed. The devil could come. In fact, lunatic is from the Latin luna, which means moon. It is an individual who has been adversely affected by the moon while they were sleeping. But I'm here to tell you that there's nothing about that in the Bible. I love what a Jewish author writing about sleep and prayer in the Old Testament says. I read this week. "Grant that we lie down in peace, securing your protecting love, and shelter us beneath your wings, and keep us safe throughout the night, and on the morrow raise us up in perfect peace to life, O God." And we can all say amen to that. So sleep is for rest. It's for a reward. It is for revelation. Number three, sleep isn't always a good thing. Too much of a good thing is not good. Too much chocolate, not good. A little chocolate, yes. A little dessert, yes. Too much, not a good thing. Sleep, when you sleep all the time, isn't good. It says in Proverbs 20, "Do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare." So we got a balance of verses. We got some over here that says you need to sleep a lot. And over here it says don't sleep that much. Sleep isn't good when we are avoiding work, or we are avoiding confrontation, or we are depressed, or we are irresponsible. A sin is when we go to any extreme, be it good or be it bad. And so our bodies and minds are temples of the Holy Spirit, and they need sufficient sleep, but not too much sleep. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 8, and I quote, "I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night." Number four, sleep should restore us. That's the general idea. It says in Jeremiah 31:26, the prophet speaking, "At this I awoke and looked around, and my sleep had been pleasant to me." And then the promise of the psalmist that we often quote, simply four words, "He restores my soul." Sleep is God's restorative medicine for you and for me. Remember, in Psalm 23, he's talking about the shepherd and the sheep. I read this past week that they sheared a sheep, I think in New Zealand, and the thing had like 80 pounds of wool on it. Can you imagine? I mean, the wool weighed more than the sheep. That's a lot. And so when you have that much wool around your little body and you roll down a ravine, you are going to end up with your little legs sticking up. And back in the time of David, they actually had a name for that. And the name for the person who helped that sheep was a restorer. He restores my soul. In other words, when I am upside down, God comes along and through rest and through sleep, He rights me up again. How many of you ever heard somebody say, sleep on it? Well, God says that to us, and He will give us the answer and restore our souls. Sleep can restore our bodies. It can restore our emotions. As Elijah found out when Jezebel was chasing him and God gave him a good night's sleep, it can restore our minds, and it can restore our spirits. Number five, God can speak to us in our sleep. How many of you think that's not too weird? Do you believe that God can actually speak to us in our sleep? Remember the dreamer Joseph in the Old Testament? Now, he dreamed a lot. He lived 110 years, and that would be 40,000 days. And at five dreams per night, which is the average, he dreamed 200,000 dreams, but only two or three of them were from God. So I don't trust the individual who gets up and says, I had a dream every single night. No, we dream every night. We dream at least four times every night. Scientifically, that's proven. But the ones we remember and the ones that are meaningful are very few and far between. But how many of us believe that the God who can speak to us in the daytime can speak to us symbolically at night as well? I do believe in dreams and revelations because I believe the Bible. I believe it when it says in Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Not only do we have a Joseph who's a dreamer in the Old Testament, we have a Joseph who is a dreamer in the New Testament, who was, if you will, the surrogate or stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God revealed many things to him that way. So I believe God speaks to us in our sleep. All the more reason we need to sleep calmly and appropriately. Dreams are often us working out our issues in deep sleep. And some come from God, and some even may come from the evil one. Have you ever had a nightmare that was a little more than a nightmare? You look upon it and you wake up and you say, that was icky. That was nasty. That was demonic. If you haven't, you probably haven't engaged in too much spiritual warfare, because that doesn't happen all the time, thank God, but it does happen. When dreams come while we are fully or partly awake, they're called visions, and God does give visions, but dreams are what comes when we are asleep. And when they are from God, they need to be interpreted. Some years back, I was considering a person to do a certain thing, and I felt an uneasiness in my spirit. Has that ever occurred to you? It's kind of, we call it a check in your spirit. It's everything lined up, everything was good on paper, but everything wasn't good in my heart. And I knew something wasn't quite right, and I asked God to help me to understand this. And during my waking hours, He didn't reveal it. But without being terribly mystical, one night I had a dream. And in the dream there, and I still remember it after all these years, there was this monkey, and he was trying to make friends with a cobra. And so he began to play with this cobra, and at first the cobra was really into the game that they were playing. But clearly the cobra had an intent or purpose that ultimately wasn't good. And sure enough, when he got the monkey to really trust him, he bit the monkey, and the monkey expired. And I woke up and I thought to myself, what is that? And God said, I'm trying to tell you something. You've been asking me about whether to have relationship in this situation, and my suggestion to you would be, don't do it. I did not do it, and I'm ever so grateful. How many of us believe God can help us? He can give us warnings. He can give us thoughts. He can give us inventions. He can give us conclusions. He can help us in our business. He can help us in ever so many ways. I believe that with all my heart. Number six, intruders can invade our sleep. That's why before we go to bed, we need to pray a good prayer. God, guide me as I sleep. Because we are open to things good and bad. And these intruders come from the world, they come from the flesh, and they come from the devil. In some cases, they come from God, but that we wouldn't call an intruder. When I talk about an intruder, I'm talking about something that isn't holy. And that is why there are just a few things I'd suggest before we go to sleep at night. First of all, start getting ready for bed early. I don't mean getting into one's pajamas and that type of thing. I'm talking about getting mentally and spiritually ready. Have you ever gone to sleep listening to a piece of music and you wake up the next morning and it's on your mind? Or have you ever woken up in the morning to an old clock radio and during the day you can't get out of your mind what was playing when you woke up? Mind is a very strange thing like that. So we need to start getting ready in our minds early in the evening. You can't watch something salacious on Netflix or on TV and then go to bed and not expect that to affect you. We need to wind down slowly. I suggest having a little Bible by the side of the bed. You don't have to read a lot, but read enough for that to be the last thing you think about. And then have a prayer. And if you have any bitterness or unforgiveness about the day, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So take care of that. And then here's the deal. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one, but you start getting up in the middle of the night as you get older. If you know what I'm talking about. I just heard an amen there, but I'm not going to tell you where it came from. And I'm finding that. So about between 3 and 4, you get up. And normally I go right back to sleep. Well, let me tell you what my experience has been recently. I can't go back to sleep. And because of the fact that I usually go to bed a little later, I'm not getting anywhere near the kind of sleep I should. And I was walking around during the day for several days in a row, real groggy. And I thought to myself, why can't I go back to sleep when I've been able to do this all my life without any problem? And again, I went to the Lord with it and I said, Lord, would you help me? And then I came up with an idea. Now, you're really going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this, but it's okay. Some of you think I'm crazy already. But I remember saying aloud, Lord, when I wake up and I can't go back to sleep, I'm going to quit tossing and turning and getting frustrated in bed. What I'm going to do, I said, is I'm going to get up and I'm going to expect to spend that time in prayer. I mean, if I'm going to be a little tired during the day, might as well be tired for a good purpose, right? I'm going to get up and I'm going to start praying. And then I said aloud, and devil, I don't know if you hear me or not, but if you do, here's the deal. If you have anything to do with this insomnia, then you better leave me alone because I'm going to pray until you wish I had not woken up. And you know, it's worked wonderfully. Several days I prayed, now I can go back to sleep when I get up. I guess I won't comment on why. But anyway, awaken the dawn with praise and with joy. Did you know that joy is a gift from God as well? It's a promise for you as a child of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, we don't want to get up angry and grumpy. We want to get up filled with God's vim and vigor. And then, if you cannot sleep, pray some more. Number 7, sleep is a metaphor for many different things. Sleep is a metaphor used in Romans 13, for example. Listen to what Paul says. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. He's not speaking about people in bed. Your spiritual slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believe. How many of us believe the coming of the Lord is sooner now than it was just a little while back? Of course it is. And we need to wake up out of our spiritual slumber and sleep. There's a time to sleep and a time to wake up. And right now, during this COVID crisis, is a time for us to wake up. Number 8, sleep is a symbol for eternity. It says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We will not all... Sometimes we jokingly say that is the motto of our nursery. We shall not all sleep, but all the babies will be changed. Not necessarily in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Now, I could read you a lot more verses on this, but I won't, except to say this. We do not believe in soul sleep. Do you know what that is? That is cultish. It is the idea that when you go by us to cemetery, all those people are in the coffins, every bit of them, body, mind, spirit, boom. They are sleeping until the day of resurrection. Listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Individuals who know the Lord, when they die, their body may go to rest, but I want to tell you, they are in the presence of God Almighty, and they definitely are not sleeping. And then what's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible tells us that the Lord will come, and the body, soul, and spirit will be reunited, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Which brings me to number 9, and that is that sleep probably won't be part of heaven. We aren't told point blank it won't be, but we are told that there will be no more night. Night is the time we normally sleep. No night. Ergo, there is a sense of being awake and alert at all times, according to Revelation 21. And number 10, and finally, our Creator can heal our sleep problems. You know, our Creator is our healer. Did you know that? He not only can heal our bodies, like Vicky suffers pain, and God is helping her, but we can suffer emotional pain, we can suffer dread, we can suffer worry, correct? But our healer can heal all of those problems. There are many people here, even in this room right now, I am persuaded, who need a good night's sleep. Hear the word of the Lord in Psalm 6:7. In vain do we rise up early and stay up late and toil for the bread that we eat. I'm weary, says David, of groaning. Every night I drench my bed with a couch of tears. Psalm 77, I call on God to mind and I moan and I complain. My spirit fails. You have held my eyelids open. I am overwrought and I cannot speak. It goes on to talk about the description of an individual who cannot get rest. But I'm here to tell you that God can heal our insomnia. God can give us rest. God can strengthen us. This is God's promise for today, for weary people who are often sleepless during the COVID crisis. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forests in safety. Doesn't that sound tranquil? Sleep in the forest, in the midst of all that's going on, in safety. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that any of us can do is take a nap. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is get a good night's sleep. You are not lazy because you need 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night. You need that because of the fact that God has given us bodies that require rest, but not because we are sinful, but because He has something to teach us in sleep. And I'm not quite sure we've figured all of that out, but one thing I know is that God wants to talk to us because God's speaking voice is all the time. I don't want to be like Jacob when he laid down and he got up and he said, God was in this place and I didn't know it. God wants to say some things to us. And so it says in our text of the day, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. At least 533,904 Americans have died from the coronavirus. And that number stands at 2.6 million worldwide. One in three Americans is grieving the loss of someone who died of COVID-19. And many of the virus victims were vulnerable, while others, you know, it just seemed to come upon them. There seems to be no explanation or rhyme or reason in some cases, and the pandemic doesn't seem to be over. The U.S. death rate continues to be 1,500 people a day. And you say, Pastor Steve, that doesn't sound very encouraging, but I'm here to tell you that our God says, doesn't have a little asterisk that says at the bottom, except during the COVID crisis. God is our God who gives us rest in our weariness and gives us strength in our weakness and gives us sleep in our wakefulness during a time of crisis. If Jesus could sleep during the storm, so can you and I. And so I want to say before this morning is over, a prayer over everyone that God will give you His peace and His rest. Tracy sent to some of us a piece of music she encountered and interacted with this week. And I said to Tracy, we need to move things around to make room for this song because it fits perfectly the ending of the message. and it's simply entitled Peace. And as she's coming, though the words will be on the screen, listen to them because they are a prophetic message to you and to me. When my mind is like a battlefield and my heart is overcome by fear and hope seems like a ship that's lost at sea, my enemies on every side and I'm tempted to run and hide, your gentle whisper reaches out to me. Peace holds me when I'm broken. Sweet peace that passes understanding. When the whole wide world is crashing down, I fall to my knees and breathe in your peace. Rest if you need that sleep, if you need the tranquility and it is eluding you right now and you're a child of God and you want a refreshing. You claim those words for yourself and the text of the morning for yourself. Would you just stand wherever you may be and receive that? Just stand and let's receive it together. You know who you are. You don't have to stand because everyone is. Just stand if you need that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and shut ourselves in with God right there. And I want to address those who are watching us, streaming. Thank you for being with us very much. We're glad to have you as part of the church too. You stand right where you are in your living room. And the first thing is, if any of us, whether we're watching, streaming, or live right here, if Jesus isn't our Lord and Savior, we have every reason to be upset and not be comfortable. In fact, I'm going to pray that God would afflict us if we don't know Him, that we might be drawn closer to Him and be set free. And if you're watching and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are here, ask Him to be Lord of your life. But if you already know Him, you have some rights and privileges and promises that are exceedingly precious that God has given to you. And you don't have to invent them. All you have to do is to say amen to those. Do you believe what we've talked about here today as being true and being God's word? If so, say a resounding amen. Lord, we agree with your promises. We don't have to come up with them. We don't have to rewrite them. In fact, it's a sin to rewrite them. All we have to do is accept them. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for peace expressed in sleep and in rest and in tranquility. Granted, Lord, many of our minds are racing 90 miles an hour these days. And the what-ifs come rapid fire. And as soon as we get one answer, there's another question. But, oh God, help us to put our trust and confidence in you. And give us your sweet peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The kind of peace that when we sit back and we wonder, where did that come from? There's no explanation except that God and His presence made themselves manifest in our lives. Give us wisdom through dreams. Guide us when we are awake. Give us rest when we get into bed. Give us joy when we get up in the morning. And if we have to get up in the middle of the night, help us even in that trip to the water fountain, the restroom, wherever it may be, to just give you thanks. And to take that opportunity once again to give glory to God. That one third of our life that we spend sleeping, help it to be precious and revelatory, we pray. And now dismiss us by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray it. Everybody says,
amen.
Can we give the Lord some praise together?
Amen.
God bless you.